Okay.
Are there any questions I can answer? Or requests for examples, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I think I'll go ahead and tell you about alternating series then.
Just be a little bit ahead of schedule, probably. Let me tell you the test. This is the main idea. We'll talk about why it works. So the idea is you have a decreasing positive sequence, and in the limit, it goes to zero. Now, if you were just adding up all these positive numbers, that wouldn't tell you whether or not the series converged. Okay? But with an alternating series, things are a little bit nicer. Because there is cancellation. And again, it doesn't matter where we start. So what I do is, for n even, I just have an. For n odd, I have negative an. If I didn't have the minus 1 to the n here, then this could converge or it could diverge, right? Like, if it was 1 over n, that would, you'd add those up and they would diverge. If it was 1 over n squared, you'd add them up and they'd converge. Both positive sequences with limit 0. But with cancellation, just being decreasing down to 0 in the limit is enough to have convergence if you have a lot of cancellation. So more information. Not only does it converge, but you also get easy estimates. So if the idea is the sequence is going to go, every time you add another term, either it goes up because you add a positive term or it goes down because you added a negative term. And if the last term you added in some partial sum was a negative term, that's an underestimate. Last thing you add is with an odd power of negative 1, then the last thing you did was subtract, bring it down. then we can just throw in one more term. To get an overestimate, because the last thing we did was add a term, a positive term, as opposed to add one's negative terms, then we'd end up with an overestimate. So the idea of why it's true is perhaps best illustrated. So imagine here's, let's say I start at A0, then there's A1, so it's a decreasing sequence, and the limit we're going to go down to 0. So you want to look at these things. And now here's what we're going to do. This is just an example. I started with 0, but I could have started any integer. And I'm going to draw a related picture now, where I think of it as 0, then I go up to A0, then I go down to get A0 minus A1. I'm going to go up, get A0 minus A1 plus A2. My diagram's a little squished. More space. I brought a meter stick and across the parallel lines here. Up. And go down. Maybe. Yeah. This is naturally giving more room. So go up, then back down. Some lines are straighter than others, but I think you're starting to get the idea. Yeah. So I'm just going to keep going up and down. And in the limit, what's going to happen? I'm going to have something like this. There'll be some small distance between what? Well, let's say n is odd, so I just went, the last thing I did was go down, then here I'll have this kind of partial sum. And then my overestimate, I just say add one more. Now, as n gets larger, big N gets larger and larger, the gap between these two lines gets smaller and smaller. And as you can see, once you get up to A0, you never get that high again, right? And once you get down to A1, you never get that low again. Once you get up to A2, you're never going to get that high again. Okay, so. So if I have a little small gap there,
right? I'm always going to be stuck inside that gap once I'm in it. Sorry if my lines aren't the straightest ever, but... So the further you go along with the partial sums, the narrower and narrower an interval you're committed to. Once you're in this little interval, you'll never leave it by going further in the series. And so somewhere in the middle, not clear exactly where, there will be the limit. And we can get a more and more accurate estimate of the limit just by doing this. So this works because the sequence is decreasing and positive. And then we alternate and then we throw in a minus sign on every other term. So if you don't have all of those hypotheses, then things might be different. Right? And of course also recall, I mean, as far as the limit being zero, if you have any sequence, right, if the limit is not zero, whether the terms are positive, negative, whatever, then the series diverges. So you definitely need the limit of the terms to be zero. If you didn't have this alternation here, then we'd use all the stuff like direct comparison test, limit comparison test, integral test that we had before. For an alternating series, all you have to do is figure out the limit. Then you've got convergence and divergence down.
Okay. So,
we know, for example, that this diverges, but if we would put an alternating thing in front of it, alternating signs factor, now it converges. Okay, it converges. Can we estimate it?
It converges, but very slowly, I should warn you, because you have to wait for this thing to shrink, this little gap to shrink. I mean, like if you make n equal to 10, right, you go out that far and you look at the gap between the partial sum out to n equals 9 and n equals 10, say, then you'll have a gap of a tenth, right?
If you had gone, waited all the way until, say, n equals 99, and then gone up one higher with n equals 100, then we'd have a gap of 100. See, over here in your general setup here,
what's the spread, you know, the difference between our underestimate and overestimate? Well, it's just the, in this example, statement of the pattern, it would be a spread of A sub n plus 1, the last term that we threw on there. What about this series? So first of all, does it converge or diverge?
Does it diverge? Is the limit of this the sequence is non-zero?
Yep. Yeah, that's it. That one. Let's see. Well, we're doing line for the line to make it alternate. Converges when it goes to zero. Here you have exponential growth. Right? Every time you're multiplying by 4, whenever you increase n by 1 in this term. Whereas here, you just have an n. So every time you you increase n by 1, you're just increasing n by 1. Adding 1 doesn't create nearly as fast growth as multiplying by 4. Now, both of these, numerator and denominator, go to infinity. So one way to deal with this would be L'Hopital's rule. So if you weren't sure, you know, which was growing faster, L'Hopital's rule is often a way to deal with that. Okay. Goes to zero, alternating series, but is it decreasing? Is it a decreasing sequence? That was one of the other hypotheses of the alternating series test. As n gets bigger, does this fraction get smaller?
Well, that's how it's approaching zero, isn't it?
Well, there's lots of ways to approach zero, even if you're just positive. Right? So, for example, I could have something that say, I mean, if this is zero, maybe the sequence does this. Some kind of up and down thing. Okay. That could be a problem because, for example, what if like this, these dots corresponded to where you made it negatives, right? And these dots corresponded to where you made it positives. You might, if the sequence is not decreasing, then you won't necessarily have my picture here. Right? If all the negative terms are teeny, teeny, tiny compared to the positive terms, then the nice cancellation effects that give us these commitments to small intervals here, that could fail. I can cook up an example where things go bad if the sequence is this kind of funny alternating thing. Okay? And it could diverge. So you really do need the hypothesis as decreasing if you want to use the alternating series test. So you might try proving it by induction, but you might not remember what induction is. In any case, it's easier to use the methods of calculus one, right? I mean, this expression makes sense if you let n be any real number, right? So we think of this as a function. How do you figure out whether or not a function is decreasing?
It's derivative.
Yeah. Negative derivative means negative slope means decreasing function. Okay. Hit this with the quotient rule. Okay. So that's a one. Here I have 4 to the x times the log of 4. Let me just put that in parentheses. And then times an x. Okay. So all the sign analysis would happen with this thing.
the fastest growing thing is the 4 of x. That's what's going to dominate. So I'm going to factor that stuff out. Group it together, I should say. So x times the log of 4 plus 2. Is that 2? It's just... Okay, 1 times 4 to the x minus x times ln 4. There we go. Right, that's all the 4 to the x terms. So then there's a 2 off by itself. Okay. Now you can see if the function is decreasing.
In this case, it's not that hard because I started at 5, right? So you can just check. If x is greater than or equal to 5, then 5 times the log of 4, well, I don't have to do anything with my calculator here because I know that e is about 2.7, right? So it's bigger than the log of e, and the log of e is 1. Okay. Definitely bigger than 1. So the 1 minus here is negative. Okay. Okay. Well, actually, let me give it slightly more information. It's how negative is it? I can say a little bit more. It's actually equal to 5, right? So why don't I just use that more precise estimate? I'm gonna try and just skip such. Okay, so x is at least 5, 4 is greater than e. So x times ln 4 is greater than 5 times log of e, which is 5. So if we flip things around, this is less than negative 5. We take its opposite there. So 1, add a 1 to both sides. And we get less than 1 minus 5, which is negative 4. And you can carry this through. Now multiply by the 4 of the x, which is always going to be positive. So now, if x is greater than or equal to 5, then I can also get a lower bound on this thing. Right? It's at least 4 to the 5th. Right? So I'm doing all this very carefully. Okay. Trying not to skip a bunch of steps. Okay, so that means what? That means this negative 4 times 4 to the x then be less than or equal to negative 4 to the 6th. Okay? So I may not always use the same thing. Like sometimes I write a so, and sometimes I write a therefore. If you wanted to translate this arrow here, probably the best English word would be this implies that, this implies that, and so on. So and therefore essentially mean the same thing. Okay, so therefore I want to take this and this. Put them together. Okay, so this is less than that. Is less than or equal to that.
Okay.
So if you do it very carefully, we're almost there. I guess there's two more things. Add a 2, right? Okay. Now you've got 2 minus 4 to the 6. Okay, this is definitely less than 0. Right? What is 4 to the 6? 1,296?
I'm not sure about that. That doesn't sound right. No, that's not. That can't be right. 4,096.
There we go. Okay, yeah. Definitely bigger than 2 in any case. Okay, so the numerator is negative when x is greater than or equal to 5 at least. And the denominator is a square, so the denominator is... going to be positive. So that whole big fraction is negative. This is how things go when you're trying to do a careful analysis of, you actually want to see if it's decreasing. You actually want to prove it, right? Usually you end up doing something like take the derivative. Okay. So one of the downsides of the alternating series test is that sometimes it can be hard to justify it because you have to actually check, is my sequence decreasing? So, put all this together. This is obviously positive, right? And in the limit, it goes to 0. Okay. So yes, it converges.
Why don't I just get a simple estimate? This sequence is decreasing really fast. So we could get a really good estimate of just a few terms. Let's say we go to an odd thing, so
let's say I just add up the first 5 terms. Okay. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then
then for my overestimate, I'm just going to add up the first six terms. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The important thing here is the upper limit here is odd, so that the last term in this partial sum is negative. The upper limit in this one is 10, so the last term is even. Is the last power of negative 1 would be even, and hence this will be a positive on the last one. So the spread between these two things would just be the tenth one. So that would be 10 over 4 to the 10 plus 2, which is tiny.
Right? I mean, I think 4 to the 10 is about a million, because 2 to the 10 is about 1,000.
So if you have 10 divided by roughly a million, it's going to be about 10 over a million, or about 1 over 100,000. So in scientific notation, it looks like this. My point being, it's smaller than 10 to the fifth.
So just adding up the first five terms, right, you'd have an underestimate that's good to five decimal places. Let's see here.
I can actually have my calculator do this. My T89 here can do sigma notations. I just have to type it in correctly, so. Get this. So I don't have to actually do this formula five times in my calculator. Okay. It'll give me a fraction of two ridiculously big integers. So let me tell it to just give me a decimal estimate. -3.74 something like that times 10 to the minus 3. Okay. We know that underestimate is an underestimate by less than 10 to the minus 5th. Okay, so this is the 10 to the minus 3 place, 10 to the minus 4 place. So the true answer could be 0.00374 something, or 0.00375 something. Right? Of course, if you go ahead and compute that one, then the error, how big is the worst case error for this one? Well, for that one, you could actually use 4 to the 11th, so. Because you could use the 11th as an estimate. So. Okay, sorry. What I said was backwards. This is a negative number, and it's an underestimate. So an overestimate would be less negative. So like that 4 could go down to a 3. Watch out for those minus signs. Okay. So, yeah. In this case, it's the 4 to the n in the denominator
which grows so much faster than the end, the numerator makes this thing converge really fast. Just five terms gets you, you know, essentially three decimal places, three significant figures, as they would say, in scientific sense. Kind of a relative error already down to about less than 1 in 1,000. Absolute error less than 1 in 100,000.
Questions or comments about this stuff?
Let me tell you, I was saying something could go wrong if things aren't decreasing. So I can tell you briefly, how could I rig something to go horribly, horribly wrong? What if I did this? So here's going to be my sequence. Okay, so it's going to start, say, that on the odd ones, I'll have reciprocals of squares. On the even ones, I'll just have reciprocals. It's still true that in the limit, things still go to zero, right? Because if you make n large, then whether you're looking at 1 over n squared or 1 over n, you're going to get something small. So the two parts of the sequence both go to zero. So the whole sequence does go to zero. And every term is positive. Not a decreasing sequence. You can see that just by looking at it, right? Just do the squares. What do you get? 1 over 1, 1 over 1, then 1 over 4, but then we go up to 1 over 2, then 1 over 9, then we go up to a third. And we then the next one after that would be decreasing to 1/16, right, 1 over 4 squared, but then we go up to a fourth. Right? So, and this thing, having it be equal is okay, but I mean, you can make the AST still work if it's not strictly decreasing, but it's the places. It's the places where there's actually a jump up. Where we have a problem. And if that happens, you know, infinitely many times, then it could add up to an infinite problem. Okay? That's the problem. Okay. So So imagine adding up a whole bunch of these terms. Okay? Okay, so now we're going to look at but alternating in sign. Well, on the odd ends, you're going to have subtraction, okay? And so what are you going to be subtracting? You're going to be subtracting 1 over 1 squared, 1 over 2 squared, 1 over 3 squared. And then on the even terms, you're going to be adding, okay? One reciprocals of whole numbers, 1 over 1, 1 over 2, 1 over 3. Okay, so the negative part will sum up to finite. Positive part will sum up to infinity. So here's the... Here's the positive part. Yeah. Let's see here. And here's the negative part. Okay, technically, you should have something here like n over 2 or something. I guess n over 2 rounded down. N plus 1 over 2 rounded down, I think. Yeah. Now what happens, right, these terms? Well, this one, we know that these numbers, the reciprocal, as n gets big, n over 2 gets big. So you end up with just, this is going to be large or big, right? When n is large. Whereas this thing, you hit that with an integral test. I mean, this thing will be small. I mean, it's a bit smaller than 2, say, right? Usually we just like to say it's bounded, right? Or if you want to write it, you might like to write it like this, as the infinite part in positive terms minus a finite negative thing. Can go wrong.
We do want to check things are decreasing. And okay. Series for the homework.
Does it converge or not? And your answer, if convergent, then justify lower and upper bounds with spread, let's say at most 10 to the minus 6. This one, and then thinking about sorry, I went a little long. We'll quit now.